This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
And a very good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. And we're going to talk a little sports today with our good friend from Channel 6. Fred Heumann is with us, and we're going to talk about the MSU and how they're involved in the Big Ten baseball tournament. And he is down in Columbus, Ohio. The second game, Michigan State, kicks off at 3:30. Michigan State will be playing Indiana in the second round of the Big Ten baseball tournament. So let's bring in our good friend, Fred Heumann. Hey, Fred, how you doing?
Hey, Earl, nice to be somebody's good friend. How you doing?
Okay, buddy. And yeah, I want to talk to you about the Big Ten tournament. I saw you there the other night. I was at that one here. I mean, at the Diamond Classic, that is. I mean, we got so much baseball going on with the Diamond Classic. You got the Big Ten tournament. You're at that one. Michigan State's in it. And, of course, we'll talk a little bit about the Tigers, which they're not doing that well. But there's a lot of baseball going on right now. And I know that's your favorite sport.
Yeah, it is my favorite time of the year. Somebody said the other day, you probably know this, the college football geek you are, he said 100 days till the opening of football season, and I cringe. Not that I don't love football. I like football when it gets here, but I can wait, okay?
Yeah.
I don't need football tomorrow. I like this time of year because I like baseball, and I'm actually not in Columbus yet. I didn't go to yesterday's game. I had some work to do here for a project I was on, and we're about an hour away from Columbus. I'm going to cover that 3:30 game today. But, yeah, it's a good time of the year for me because, we go so hard the rest of the year, as you know, with basketball and football. And
right.
Spring and summer is a little more laid back, and that's one of the reasons I like baseball. It's a more laid-back game, and I can't wait to just sit in the stadium and watch some ball the next couple of days.
Yeah, well, that's nice, and Michigan State is doing good. And how do you think they're going to do, Fred? I mean, they're good, but Purdue is first time winning the Big Ten in 100 years. What do you think their chances are? I mean, can State win this tournament?
Well, anything can happen, like they say, in a 3 or 4 day period, Earl. In watching State this year, they've been a little bit maddening like the Tigers are because, and I've seen about 20, 25 of the games, probably 20, I count them, but I go to a lot of games, and they just can't bunch hits together. Does that sound familiar?
Yep.
They have some decent hitters, but they can't seem to get three hits in a row. So Jake does my favorite thing. He bunts a lot and tries to manufacture runs because they just don't have enough thunder in the lineup, and they don't have a lot of power, so they're a bunch of singles hitters. They had some yesterday. Curry hit a home run, and they got some big hits in that 10-9 victory in the first round, but they don't hit enough in the clutch, and they leave a lot of runners on base. So if they don't rectify that, they're in trouble. Now, they have enough pitching. They go three deep on the pitching staff and a decent bullpen, although it was pathetic yesterday. Could they win a tournament in 4 days on one weekend, double elimination? Sure, but is Purdue clearly the best team in the league? Yeah, appears to be.
Yeah, seems like Purdue is pretty strong this year, but that's something that a team hasn't won, haven't won the Big Ten title or anything in 105 years.
I didn't even realize that until it came out. I didn't realize Purdue had never won the Big Ten.
Yeah, me neither, and I was really surprised when I read that as well. And it just goes to show you some sports, some teams just don't, can't get it together in some sports, and some sports it clicks. But yeah, for whatever reason, Purdue hasn't been able to get it done in baseball. Well, what do you think about the Diamond Classic, Fred? Because that's pretty good. I saw you out there the other night. I'll be going back there tonight to catch this round. We've got some pretty good games. Grand Legend Hazlitt tonight, Okemos at Holt. So two pretty good games in the Diamond Classic tonight.
Yeah, I actually thought about delaying my trip one more day to go tomorrow because Michigan State, by winning, is in the winner's bracket. And I like the Diamond Classic. I didn't want to miss tonight's games, but decided to come anyway. It does appear to be a two-horse race because Holt and Grand Ledger, the cream of the crop, they're clearly the best two teams in the area. Now, East Lansing and Lansing Catholic have pretty nice teams, but they're probably not in Grand Ledger and Holt's class. And this year, you'd almost have to say that Grand Ledger isn't even in Holt's class as good as Grand Ledge has been over the years, because Holt has that 1-2 punch of Justin Allman, the kid that's coming to Michigan State, and Zabrowski, the junior, who's also designed to come to Michigan State in a couple of years. So, you know, in high school ball, it's rare to have two pitchers like that. But Grand Ledge, you know, they have that Diamond Classic mystique, and they have that tradition, the history, and they have Pat O'Keefe, and you never count him out. So, it sure seems to be setting up as a whole Grand Ledge tournament, but we'll have to see. That's why they play the games.
Yes, and then, of course, they've got the state tournament. Sometimes I think that the Diamond Classic probably doesn't help the teams, you know, with their involvement in the state tournament, because the teams in the tournament, they have to, juggle their pitching staff to get everybody in so they get their innings in all the time. So that's always a little bit of a problem for the teams in the Classic.
Yeah, it's a good point, and that affects the Classic a little. It's been a wonderful tournament, but there's no question that even, you know, while the Diamond Classic's a big deal to a lot of mid-Michigan teams, and a lot of teams are disappointed not to get in, I mean, you don't put a tournament that is basically a four-day tournament over 3 weeks ahead of your goals in the state tournament. So if you have a good pitcher or a couple of good pitchers, obviously, if you have to make a decision, that pitcher is going to go in your tournament game, be it the districts or pre-districts or regionals, rather than the Diamond Classic. And that's the dilemma they face every year. So sometimes you don't get the best pitcher in the Diamond Classic. So who knows if all – I haven't talked to the Holt coach, Nate Parsons. I don't know what their schedule is coming up this weekend or next week. I don't know if Allman's throwing tonight or if they're going to save him for something. I would imagine he'd throw tonight. But then it gets, when you get to the finals, the semifinals and finals, you know, in a couple of weeks, that's really tournament time, and that's where it really affects it, because you want to win the Diamond Classic. What if you have a Diamond Classic on a Monday and a pre-district game on a Tuesday and a district game on a Saturday and a potential Diamond Classic championship in between? You could be playing four games in 5 days, and pitching staffs in high school, as you know, just aren't that deep. So it does. It does affect the tournament. It does affect the Diamond Classic, but the state tournament usually wins out. I think any coach would tell you that the priority is the state tournament. That's why you play.
Yeah, and of course, the kids are the same way. They want that state tournament win if they get it. We know that they love playing down at Olds Park. I mean, I know all the kids that get there, they love playing in Olds Park. Most kids never get to play there, and so it's a thrill for them to play down in Olds Park.
Yeah, it is for them. I'm a little bit old school, and being here so many years, but when I started my career back in the 80s and that whole tournament was at Municipal Park, the old school part of me still prefers this tournament at Municipal, believe it or not, just because, I don't know, the John Smoltz home run in 1985, yep. The history is in that tournament. I know the kids like playing at Olds Park, and the parents like going, and you get the nice seats, and you get the dugouts, and you get the big league feel. But even if you have 500 people there, it seems like nobody's there. If you get 500 people at Muni, it feels like it's packed.
Yes, it does.
So I kind of feel like the atmosphere of a tournament is actually better at Municipal Park than it is at Oldsmobile Park, or at Cooley Law School Stadium now. I understand why they move it there. I understand why it's more appealing. I understand why kids who may only get that might be their only shot of their life to play in that kind of stadium, why they want to do it. I'm just talking about selfishly the old school and me. Actually, it's one of the reasons I wanted to go tonight, because both games are at Muni. I prefer the games being played at Municipal, believe it or not, just because it just has a little bit more of a big crowd and old school atmosphere.
And the popcorn is great there. That's why I'm excited about going there tonight,
yeah,
too.
And it's cheaper.
Yes.
Right? It's cheaper. Concession prices are better.
Yes. So I love going there, too. Fred, I always love going to Muni. And great atmosphere. Like you say, the crowd feels like the crowd. Well, it is upon you. It's right there. The both stadiums, sides will be packed. It's just going to be a fun night.
Yeah, you put the same number of people at Oldsmobile Park that would be at Muni, and I keep calling Olds Park. Cooley Law School Stadium feels empty, even if there's a decent number of people there. And at Muni, if you only get a few hundred people there, it feels like it's full. So that's what I like about it, but I don't think there's any coach or any player in the area who would agree with me on that. That's just my old fuddy-duddy feeling. I was old school about everything.
Yeah, well, I'm with you on that one, because I love the games.
Well, you're old buddy-duddy, too.
Yes,
that's
I
why
am.
We agree.
Yep. Yeah, we definitely agree on that because Munich is such a great place to watch a ball game. Always was, always has been. And like you say, the remembrance of John Smoltz's home run back there in 85, we saw that. That was exciting. And I ran into Smoltz one time a few years back, and I was talking with his son, and he hadn't told his son about the home run. So I told John, you better tell your son about that home run that you hit in Munich in the ball game. He just sort of looked and just shook his head. He said, "Yeah, he knew he had to because he didn't know anything about that about what he did in high school."
Yeah, and now his son's at Michigan State. John, I saw John about a month ago, and he told me it's probably that same son you're talking about as a student at Michigan State. And John was actually in town visiting him. But it's funny you say that. I ran this on the news the other night in Channel 6. That night I interviewed him. I asked him about that home run, as we often do when we run into him, because it's the most famous moment in Diamond Classic history.
Yep.
And he says with a straight face that home run in 1985 that he hit in the bottom of the eighth inning to win the Diamond Classic over Lansing Sexton ranks as the top thrill of his athletic life. And I look, and this guy's played in World Series. He's played in the Major League. You've got to be kidding me. And he says this for the thrill of the moment, and because he's a competitor, and the clutch kind of situation it was, and the fact that Waverly that year had been eliminated on a controversy in the state tournament, so the Diamond Classic was their whole season. For him at shortstop, he couldn't pitch that night. He had thrown a no-hitter the night before. For him to step up to the plate in the bottom of the eighth inning and win that game, he ranks at the top of his athletic thrill list. This is a guy who played, 17 major league seasons. He's telling me that what he did at Muni is the top athletic thrill of his life. And he said it with a dead straight serious face.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, we know it was great, but for him to think that it was his best ever, that's something, especially with all the games he pitched or the ones he closed. I mean, it just shows how special that tournament is. And when you can have a memory like that. And John has certainly been one of our best players that we've had to cover here in all these years.
Were you at that game, Earl? I wasn't in town at the time. Were you at that game?
Yes, I was at that game. Yes, I was.
Yeah. You're probably standing on the first base line and saw it go out, huh?
Yep, I was sitting in the little press, that little jam press box up there at Muni, and so I saw it go out, and you talk about someone being excited. He was really excited, and the team, their team was too.
We have the video of that. He's dancing around the bases and got mobbed at home plate. He wore number 3 then, as you probably know, and I just showed that again the other night. We show it every year. It kind of bugs Tim Stout because he works at Channel 10, of course, and that night their camera person ran out of battery, and they don't have the shot. So I show it every year, and I think it drives them crazy because they don't have the video. Through no fault of theirs, it happens to all of us, but their photographer ran out of battery and missed the home run, so they don't have that one.
Oh, that's a break.
I thought about selling it to him. You think Tim would buy it from me?
Nah, he wouldn't buy it. You know how Tim is.
We can answer that myself. He still owes me lunch on a bet.
And he'll probably keep owing you, like you say, as long as he owes you, you'll never be broke.
Right. There you go.
Hey, Fred, just want to talk a little bit more about those Tigers. What do you think is wrong with the Tigers? I mean, they win one, lose one, win one, lose one. What's going on with this team?
Yeah, I got on them on the air pretty good last night at 11 because I watched that game and it was just maddening. And I try not to let the fan in me. I just try to look at things objectively, but that game was maddening. They had bases loaded in the seventh inning, couldn't score. Eighth inning, they have the bases loaded and nobody out. Peralta goes down on 3 pitches, swings at an 0-2 pitch out of the strike zone. You knew it was coming. Santiago hits a weak tap out. Avila pinch hits and takes a called third strike. Now, on a 3-2 pitch with the bases loaded, what in the heck are you waiting for? You waiting for Christmas?
That's
swing
crazy.
The bat.
That's
and
right.
And then Fielder to me, who it's a long season. I like Prince Fielder. I told you back then what could be wrong about signing this guy, but he plays the game too casual. And now I call these guys, I don't call them the Tigers anymore. I call them the casual kitty cat. Because everyone just seems to be casual.
Yeah, they do.
Their manager. Mm-hmm. The Fielder throws from first base twice last week. Last night he's got an easy force out at home. He throws it away, costs him the ball game. And there seems to be no sense of urgency. I don't know if it's the money. I don't know if the expectations. They're just too casual. I mean, maybe I'm looking for a Gibby-type tirade or somebody to knock over a water cooler or something, and some of that stuff can be phony, and that could be overbaked a little bit, but they're just too accepting of mediocrity. They're three games under 500, and they're just so casual about it. I wish they played with a little more fire.
Yes, I'm like you. I wish they did, too, because, yeah, they are too casual. It's for whatever reason, they, like you say, they don't have much fire. They just seem not to have much fire in their belly. That's the only way to put it. They are too casual, and you keep waiting for something to happen because they're not doing it at the plate. They're not doing it in the field. It's like every aspect of the game, they let down at some point or another during the season, during a game. The hitting lets them down, pitching lets them down, defense lets them down, and it's hard to put it on one thing. You know, we can't say the one thing is wrong with the Tigers. They need to do this to get better. It's just something different every single time.
Yeah, and I keep asking, like, other than Verlander, who's a pitcher, and you can't count a guy as a leader who plays every 5 days, who's the leader of this team?
Yeah.
You know, without Victor Martinez in the lineup, I don't see, like, a field leader of the Tigers. And you want to say, okay, that's the manager. But the manager's casual about everything, too. I'm so tired of hearing Jim Leland talk about, oh, that's baseball. We'll be all right. We'll win a lot of games. These things happen in baseball. I mean, I don't know what happens behind the scenes, but I think sometimes the team is a reflection of their casual manager. Now, I'm not on a big campaign to say fire Jim Leland or anything like that. I just get you say what's wrong with them, put one finger on it. That's the word I come up with. They play the game too casually, and that drives me crazy.
Yeah, I hear you, because that's been that way for most of the year. I mean, you know, it hasn't changed since the beginning of the season, and they're still playing casually. Well, I know you got a game you're going to see, a good game at 3:30, Michigan State. Boy, I know you saw the highlights yesterday. That was a nail batter when Nebraska came back and almost came all the way back. I mean, that's something. 10-2 in the ninth inning, and you give up 7 runs. That almost cost them yesterday.
Can you imagine what kind of loss that would have been had they blown a 10-2 lead in the ninth inning and Ryan Jones makes that leaping play to end the game? I mean, you talk about devastating losses. That would have been the all-timer, and it almost happened. But bottom line is they got it done. Doesn't matter if you win 1-0, 10-1, or 10-9. They win 10-9, and you want it. You know, it's so important in these baseball tournaments to get in the winner's bracket. When you lose that first day, you're just fighting for survival, and it's just a matter of when you're going to go home. But when you win that first game and you get in the winner's bracket, anything can happen. So that first game is the biggest game of the tournament, other than, of course, the last game, which they hope to get to.
Yep. Hey, Fred, I want to thank you for being with me today. It's always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and talking some baseball with us. Talked a little Diamond Classic. We talked some Michigan State. We talked the Tigers. We covered all the bases today, buddy.
Earl, I like to say that I look up to you, but usually I'm looking down at you. Thanks for having me.
That's for sure. Hey, we'll talk to you later, Fred. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. And that's Fred Heumann from WLNS-TV, sports director, talking sports with him right here on AM 870 WKAR. 24 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
A recent poll asked people who spent time in a hospital over the past year about the care they received. Only about half were very satisfied. The rest complained about wrong diagnoses, unresponsive nurses, and poor communication. I'm Neil Conan. The problems in our hospitals. Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The weather forecast today, hot and sunny with a high in the upper 80s. Overnight, the low in the upper 60s with variable cloudiness. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny, Friday's high 82, and mostly cloudy Saturday with a chance of rain and thunderstorms, the high 85. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, toll-free, 877-9527-870. Our email address, sportstalk@wkar.org. We're going to talk a little bit about the Diamond Classic. begins again tonight, 5:30. It should be a very good game. We'll see Grand Ledge and Hazlitt meeting. That's going to be a good one. And then in the second game, you've got Holt and Okemos coming up. So we've got two very good games coming up tonight, and hopefully everyone will be excited to see them. We see Grand Ledge and Hazlitt once again, 5:30. Okemos at East Lansing at 7:30. And so that's the 7:30 game and the 5:30 game. But right now, let's hear from last night's game from Mark Pindra, the head coach of East Lansing. Their center fielder made some very good plays, and he talked about how their center fielder play.
Oh, yeah, Drew. He's, he can go get the ball. He's fast, and, that one in the last inning there, I mean, he had to run away to go get that thing. So it was good.
And then Mark also talked about the play of East Lansing and how they played overall.
We got a couple big hits. There's some execution things that we didn't do quite as well as we – things that we've got to work on. But, we got a couple key hits there. Zach Francisco, he got two hits. I don't know, two or three RBIs. And so that was big for us. And so that was good.
Okay, so Aaron, are you going back with me tonight? So that's the question. Are you coming back there with me tonight?
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to. I have other commitments to make, but sounds like those are, obviously Grand Ledge. Sounds like it might be the clear winner here in this tournament. But I wish I could go because it would be interesting to see how good they really are because that seems to be the top team to beat there.
Yeah, they are. They're the team in the area, that's for sure. So, well, it's too bad. So I'll just tell you about it tomorrow. I know it's going to be a good game. Grand Ledge and Hazlitt. I expect that Grand Ledge would win, but you never know. It's high school sports, and kids. Kids, everybody wants to win and get up. So if they get upset Grand Ledge, that would be a feather in Hazlitt's hat.
Yeah, and tonight it's at what, Muni?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not at Cooley Law School. Okay, so, yeah, and that might change it a little bit, too. It's a different environment. You never know. But you're right. It's high school. High school, I think we've all seen that anyone can win, really, at any given time because of, whatever situation. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be an interesting game. I guess I'll have to wait and see what the results are tomorrow.
Yep, it should be a fun game. And then, of course, we've got more NBA playoffs coming up and, of course, NHL playoffs coming up. So it should be good on both those aspects in the NBA and, of course, in the NBA and the NHL. And we'll talk about those two during this hour as well, the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs, as we get ready for the Stanley Cup Finals. And, of course, we're going to look at the NBA playoffs. And there, it's going to be some – we've got some great games coming up. So I know we're going to be following a lot of sports. And that's always – I love it. I love this time of year. So the Devils thwarted the Rangers the other night. So it's going to be exciting games. And, of course, Heat and they're going up against Indiana. They should put Indiana out of their misery now. With them up, Heat is up 3-2 now. Boston and Philly going to Game 7. Game 7s are always exciting. So that'll be coming up as well. So we'll see that one. So it's a lot of good things going on in the sports world. And then, of course, we'll still keep our head. The Tigers are going to keep us scratching our head. And I don't have any hair to scratch, as you know, so I just have to scratch my bald head for the most part. But the Tigers, it just makes you wonder what the heck's going on with them. We'll see. Tonight we'll see Indiana in Miami, and that's coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. Then you've got we've got the baseball at 3:35. If you turn on the Big Ten Network, you can watch Michigan State and Indiana. So you can see that. That's for sure. So there's always something going on. And then, of course, there's a golf tournament going on today, a PGA Crown Plaza Invitational Champions, the Senior Champions Channel. So a lot of sports coming on today right here on AM 870. We're always here to talk with you. And if you want to give us a call, talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. So give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now you're a big basketball guy, so who do you got in the Game 7 between Boston and Philadelphia?
I'm going to go the 76ers. So, frankly, just because I want them to win, you know, I'd rather, you know, Boston's been there. I always liked rooting for the underdog. I mean, honestly, I don't think I care either way, to be honest, between Boston and 76ers. But, you know, if I get to choose, I'm going to pick the underdog. But hopefully they win. It's going to be tough for them to do that, but you know, at least they gave it a game seven, and, you know, at least Boston didn't sweep them in four or anything like that.
Well, are you giving Indiana a chance to beat Miami?
Nope. after Miami smoked them the other day by, I think, like 32 points or something like that. No, I think Indiana, you know, they're a great, great team, but I think Miami has finally woken up. They figured out quickly how to play without Bosch. So, you know. I think they'll be fine, and the Heat will move on.
Okay, so you're taking one favorite and one underdog.
Right, exactly. As much as some people may not care for the Heat, I am going to go with the Heat on this one, just simply because I mean they're too talented. Wade and LeBron, you know, they're combining for too many points. Indiana can't really solve them two together. So, but I like the 76ers. I hope they win, but. It's going to be tough for them. They're going to have to play a perfect game. So Boston's too skilled. They have too many veterans that have been in this situation. That's what worries me, though, is they got veterans that have been here before, and I don't know if the 76ers are ready and prepared for that for a game seven. So I guess we'll find out and wait and see.
Yeah, because I would go with Boston and take that one. Just to take the opposite of you, I'll go with Boston because you're right. They've got the veterans. They've got the experience. They've won these games before, so I'll go with the more experienced team, and experience usually wins out in games like this. You know, if you're a young team, usually you're a little bit nervous, and I expect Philly will be a little bit nervous.
Yeah, I expect that too, but sometimes we've seen it before. Sometimes that excitement, if they can control it, they can play with a lot of excitement, and that can push them towards a win. I've seen it. I mean, we've seen it before in sports, but I want Philly to win, but it's going to be very difficult for them to do so.
Yes, it is. But that's the challenge that they're facing. It should be a good game, though. And then we've talked about all the baseball that Fred and I talked about. Boy, a lot of baseball going on with the Diamond Classic, Michigan State, the Tigers. It's a baseball lover's dream, that's for sure, with these all these tournaments and these games going on. So if you're a baseball lover, you've got to like what's going on right now.
Yeah, you do. Unless you're a huge Tigers fan, then you're just scratching your head, which they're actually playing right now. I'll just give you an update on on the score. They're down 2-1. Verlander's pitching today. He's already given up two runs, but usually, you know, sometimes he gives up a couple of runs, but usually he can hold those to, you know, that's about it, two or three. That's his max, usually ERA. So it's 2-1 in the bottom of the fifth. Cleveland's up the bat right now, so that's where we stand on that.
And, you know, the thing with him, he always seems like he always has to be the one in the rotation, the player that stops a losing streak. You know, he always has to stop the Tigers from getting a loss or coming off a loss. You know, he's never in the middle of a four or five game win streak. It's always he's got to stop the Tigers from losing.
Yeah, which that's not something you want to be relying on all the time, is to have a starting pitcher, your main number one guy, to be stopping a losing streak. It shouldn't be that way, but unfortunately, that's a good point. It is that way. But, you know, he's gonna pitch his game. You know, sometimes he gives up a few runs, but if that's his max, giving up a couple runs every now and then, I think he's doing his job obviously just fine. But, you know, maybe he needs to, you know, Fred said there's really no leader on the team, but maybe he's the leader. I don't know. Fred makes a good point. I don't think there really is a leader.
Yeah, as far as an everyday player, I can't see him with one.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, obviously Verlander is probably the leader in the bullpen, but, you know, I know he usually sits, you know, he's on the bench, you know, even when he's not pitching, he's right there with the player. So maybe he needs to step up and be a leader. I don't know, but maybe there's also other people just need to step up and actually play some baseball. That's what they're paid to do.
Yes, they are, and they're paid a lot of money to do that. We see what Cabrera's making. We know what Fielder's making. I mean, that thing, all the players – today are making a lot of money. I remember when the salary, like when $1 million was considered a big salary. And that's what some of the bench, when the bench players started making $1 million, said, whoa, if they're making $1 million to sit on the bench, and now it's up to $5 million just about. I mean, it's crazy what players are making right now in the sport of baseball. I would definitely tell my kids, hey, go play some baseball. I mean, forget this basketball and football stuff. Play, learn to play baseball. Learn to hit a slider. Learn how to take a pitch. Play some baseball. But too many parents, they send their kids to playing football and basketball and hockey, and they leave a sport like baseball alone. I think people should really start reconsidering getting their sports into the sport, getting their kids in the sport of baseball.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I used to play it as a kid. I used to play in dirt fields, you know. Mm-hmm. That was back in the day. But, yeah, and it seems like less and less nowadays, too, sometimes.
Yes.
You know, in baseball, I mean, obviously you have the minor leagues. You got, you know, single A, double A, triple A, and then you got the college ranks. So, I mean, there's lots of opportunities for kids to play, you know, and improve. You know, obviously there's lots of stuff that happens during the summer. Obviously you can play in high school. So, I mean – you know, there's lots of chances for people to play baseball. And the thing with baseball, too, I mean, most people, even if you live in the city or something, even if you have a small backyard, you can still practice on certain things. Mm-hmm. You know, basketball or football. Football, maybe you can practice on some things in the backyard. But basketball, if you don't have a court, you got to go to a gym or you got to go to a local park or something sometimes. So, you know, baseball is a fun sport, too. You know, unfortunately, you got to be outside to do it. So sometimes, obviously, being in the winter months here in Michigan doesn't help that. But, yeah, nonetheless, I think baseball, I think to go back to your point about these players getting paid, you know, the amount that they do. Yeah, it's astonishing because if you think about it, if they don't perform, they still get their paycheck.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, what if Cabrera doesn't, you know, if he's not hitting well or fielder's not hitting well, well, I still go home. I still got paid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a certain point, I think Fred made a point, there's no urgency. There's no fire in them. Maybe that has something to do with the paycheck. I don't know. I mean, that's been talked about for years, ever since baseball started paying players more and more. But, yeah, they don't play with any fire. And I don't know if – maybe the media, they watch too much media coverage. Oh, they'll be fine. Oh, they'll be fine. You know, blah, blah, you know, this. You know,
and they always tell you they don't watch that much media coverage.
Oh, yeah. That's what they tell you. You know they do. You know they go home and watch ESPN. That's what they gloat about that. Oh, Cabrera's playing great. Oh, yeah. Makes me, you know, gives him confidence. Of course they do. They pay attention to that. That's what they're told by the coaches and not to say. That's what they say. So, you know, it is what it is. But, man, they got to get their act together. If they don't, this is going to come and bite them later, you know, come playoff time. You know, if their record is like this playoff time, I'm sorry, but they may not make the playoffs if they're around 500.
Yes, and they I think they're going to have to win that division. You wouldn't want to rely on them being a wild card coming out of that conference. And right now they're trailing Cleveland and Chicago. I mean, that's shocking. They're in third place right now.
Yeah, that just blows my mind. I mean, I agree. They have to win this division. I don't think you can count on them to be a wild card. I think there's too many other teams in other divisions, AL, NL, whatever, that you know are gonna probably get that wild card. So, yeah, I think they have to win the division. Honestly, though, I do believe that something is going to happen, whether it's with Leland or some player is going to step up. Something's going to trigger someone. I know their lineup is a little bit shaky right now. So, you know, they don't have their main number one guy batting, you know, today. Today is actually who's batting today first. We got Barry. You know, he's batting first today. So, you know, he doesn't get much major league action. So, you know, I think once they get their lineup solidified a little bit more, you know, I think they'll be okay. But again, someone or something's got to happen to trigger them to get that fire into them. Because if they don't, they're going to be in a world of hurt.
That's true. Hey, the time right now is 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
In Guns, Germs, and Steel, Jared Diamond described why some societies erected empires while others withered. A topic he says too many historians avoid.
To talk about why some societies conquered others, it's not nice. History is full of lots of horrible stuff.
Some new ideas about why nations succeed or fail. Jared Diamond joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl with a look at the weather. Today will be sunny and hot with a high in the upper 80s. For tonight, variable cloudiness, the overnight low in the upper 60s. Tomorrow, the high 82 and mostly sunny. Then Saturday will be mostly cloudy and we could get some rain and thunderstorms, the high 85.
And give us a call. Our lines are open at 355-9527. Toll free, 877-952-7870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we ask you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons and call us up. Talk sports right here on AM 870. And if you've been a frequent caller, you can always call us at any time right here at WKAR. So we're always asking for those first-time callers. We know so many of you out there listen to the show each and every day, but haven't picked up the phone and haven't given us a call. So we encourage you, especially many of you who have been listening for a long time, to give us a call, talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. I ran into a man last night at the store, said he hasn't called yet, but I always say, well, you know, give us a call sometime. I mean, they always say okay, but very few of them actually decide to do it. They don't mind saying that they listen, but that they don't call. So we want you to give us a call sometime. Talk a little sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Once again, 355-9527 or toll free 877-952-7870. We got to congratulate our athletic director, Mark Hollis, who's won the Athletic Director of the Year Award by Street & Smith from their Sporting News. So congratulations to Mark and Michigan State, as he's done a great job representing Michigan State University. So Mark Hollis, congratulations for being the Sporting News Athletic Director of the Year. And we're talking about that right here on AM 870 WKAR. As we look at some of the things going on, you know, NBA suspended a couple of guys, but they didn't suspend the guys they should have suspended. We thought that they should have. And then we see more things coming up in the Roger Clemens trial. Another witness could be David Segee could come in and testify against Clemens. They're talking about that. He could come in. We'll just have to wait and see if he does. And then, of course, there's been the controversy of slow play in golf. A lot of the golfers, but they've always had slow play in golf. You know, I know they're trying to make players pick it up, which they should do, but it's been a long, long, long time problem. I don't know if you can make players just play a little faster. I think that's all they're asking, trying to get everybody to speed up their game. So, you know, so the game goes a little faster. I know this last golf tournament took over 6.5 hours. So they definitely want to get the play up because you know they needed to get it done a certain amount of time. But that's been a problem in golf. I don't know. Now, do you play much golf, Aaron? Do you get out there at all? Ever?
Actually, golf is one of my kind of favorite sports to play. Actually, I don't get to go out much because I don't know too many people that golf. Most of the people that I have a friend that golf with in Ohio once in a while. So he'll come up here or go down there. But actually, no, golf is actually a very fun sport for me. I love playing it. I know you don't play it that often, but to go back to your point about the timing thing, I mean, they do have rules in place. They have so much time. Now, there was, I think it was last weekend or maybe it was the weekend before, there was a tournament and there was a player, he wasn't a big name by any means, but they showed on ESPN that he took, I think, over 40 to 50 seconds to tee off for whatever reason. He could not, you know, hit the golf ball.
Yeah,
at
I think
all.
That was Kevin Na. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's his name. And you could tell. I think I forget the guy that he was playing with. He was just getting so frustrated, and it's frustrating for the other players too because get into their groove, and if they get off their groove and they have to wait several minutes for another player, I mean, that can be I can really throw your golf game off. So, you know, I understand, you know, 6.5 hours, man, that is way too long for a golf tournament.
It is.
You know, at baseball, sometimes people, you know, it's tough enough just to sit through a whole baseball game unless you're at the baseball game itself. But, you know, they do have to do something about it. But at the same time, I mean, it is golf. Golf has always golf has always been a sport that's it's a relaxing sport. You take your time, you focus, you take your swing. I mean, if you're going to put timers on people, I mean, they do, but let's face it, they're pretty long timers. I know he got a warning for that, but for the most part, you know, it doesn't help either. You know, if a player has 9 shots on a hole or something, but he had to took him 5 shots to get out of a bunch of trees and rough or something, you know, that really slows the game down because you're waiting for him to get out of, you know, some rough or something. So I don't know if they could maybe speed up how much time they give him, but you know, you might be reducing the quality, and then, you know, you don't want to force the players into giving, you know, oh, you only have so much time to hit it, but maybe that'll challenge them to improve their game. I mean, you know, we've seen over the years sports, you know, whatever the sport is, it changes.
It does, and people will adapt.
Yeah, you have to adapt to it. You know, if you want to make these changes, you have to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And if you don't like it, well, too bad. You're going to have to adapt to it, just like you said. So, but, you know, I think that's something they do have to start addressing, though, because it does take way too long. You know, I like watching golf on TV. I know a lot of people don't, but I actually do enjoy watching it on TV, but man, 6.5 hours, there's no way I could see. You know, I know sometimes what they'll do is they'll start it on one network and then go to another network. You know, I know CBS usually picks them up for the most part. So they'll usually catch the last, you know, couple hours at the tournament, but it's usually, you know, on another network before that. But even so, that's a long tournament. There's no way that someone, you could ask someone to sit there and for 6.5 hours. Come on. Yeah. People have lives.
Oh, yeah. And then, well, let's say about with this basketball tournament, or actually the Western Conference Finals. I mean, that one's, this should be a very good series you're going to have. Oklahoma City going against San Antonio. Now, that should be a great, great series. So how do you see that one?
Yeah, I got that. This is going to be a great series. I usually don't care for the NBA all too much, but playoff time, I really do try to get into it. You know, you got Oklahoma, that's just, you know, a great young team. That, I mean, they're just playing with a lot of energy, too. So then San Antonio, I mean, they're kind of like Boston in the sense, you know, a lot of veterans, but a lot of young guys, too. So good of mix and old. But I think, man, I don't know. This is going to be a tough one. I would say this is probably at least going to go 6-7 games, which is good. I mean, that's what you don't you don't want a 4-0 out, you know, in the conference finals or anything. But I'm going to give, you know, it's a toss up. I haven't looked at the details stats yet of all the players just quite yet. But I'm going to give the edge to San Antonio just because I think they have a good mix of good and old. Duncan, I think he's been here too many times. You know, obviously he's been here often, so I think he can really get the young guys to know, to focus, to stay focused, to play well under pressure. And I see San Antonio taking this, I'm going to say six games for San Antonio.
Well, you know, San Antonio hasn't lost a game since April.
Right. So, but I think Oklahoma's going to give them a little bit of a different look. The Clippers, you know, they had their problems, but I think Oklahoma will be able to take a couple from them just because I think they're playing too well, and they're, you know, their home crowd is it's difficult to beat them at home.
Yeah, I know people were sort of looking forward to a potentially a Miami Oklahoma series for the championship, but it might not be those two teams. It could be two others. It's definitely going to be a very good and a very entertaining series, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk a little sports with us. It's 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, so call us up. Talk sports right here on AM 870 WKAR. And there'll be some boxing going on over the weekend. As you know, I'm a big boxing fan, and champion Lucien Boutte is fighting Carl Froch, so that should be a very good fine, a very good fight. So hopefully, if you get a chance to watch that fight over the weekend, it's going to be some good fights going on if you follow boxing at all. And you know, I was reading a little bit about boxing over the week, and it's a lot more people watching this sport than we give it coverage to. Now, I was surprised. I mean, the pay-per-views are doing well, and the people that do the pay-per-view and then do the other. And there's so many fights going on across America. I was looking at some of the fight cards going on in a lot of places. And so boxing is pretty good. I don't think it's as bad as so many people have made it out to be. And it's not as disrespected, basically, as many people have said. It's still very popular, and still a lot of people watch the sport. I know it's basically considered a little bit barbaric at times, but it's a sport that a lot of people like watching. You know, it's called the sweet science, and I follow it because it's the art of hitting someone and not getting hit yourself. And that's pretty hard, to hit somebody and not get hit. But that's why they call it the sweet science. And the best of doing that right now is Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather Jr., he's one that lands the most blows and gets hit the least. And that's you have to be really quick and really gifted not to get hit a lot. And he's very gifted at that. And so if you follow the sport at all, you'll know that Floyd Mayweather doesn't get hit a lot. But he's very, very, very good and a very talented fighter, that's for sure. Hey, give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 as we look over some of the sports. We've got the Big Ten baseball tournament going on right now. Then we'll have the NC2A tournament coming up shortly. And that's going to be a good draw, a good battle there. We've got the playoffs going on right now. Baseball's the only sport that, at least in the pros, that aren't going, that's not going in going full speed ahead right now. But other than that, all the sports are doing well. And then, of course, like Fred said, it's still, and one of his callers said, they're 100 days away from the first football game. And we'll be doing that. We'll be doing a lot of football coming up, Aaron, as we see right around here. Michigan State people are really excited about Michigan State. I mean, that's shocking. Whenever I'm out, Aaron, that's one of the first questions I'm always asked about, Michigan State football. People really love their football around here.
Yeah, I think just because there's history, obviously, there's history, obviously, with other sports too here at Michigan State. But yeah, I think there's just something about football that I think just people just enjoy getting out to the stadium. Obviously, it's a beautiful stadium. You know, I think there's kind of this whole family thing. You know, people can take their families. It's a fun environment, family environment. The whole tailgating thing, obviously, that happens. That's something to be said too. It's pretty special here on campus. So, you know, 100 days away, I think people are getting a little too excited, a little bit too soon. I still like to focus on the sports that are happening now. I mean, you can't really project 100 days in advance. I guess a few things you could, but then after a couple of days, I guess things would be a little redundant. Things don't usually change in a couple of days, 100 days in advance. So I guess we'll have to, once that time comes, I guess we'll wait and see, you know, what things we can talk about then. But right now, I think we'll focus on more on the sports that are happening now. I don't get too excited this far in advance.
I don't get too excited either, but, you know, it'll be coming up. And that's the thing about the sport of football, because people really love to talk about the sports and get involved in the sports. And I always say, well, just wait till it gets closer to the season. That's always been my mantra. But sometimes, you know, and this is one of those years, especially coming off of two 11-win seasons, people are really excited. I mean, that's never happened in Michigan State history before. So I can understand why people are really so excited for the football. You know, I was getting asked a lot of questions when I was at Olds Park. Cooley Law School Stadium the other day. And so people really want to know about the football team, how they're going to be. A new quarterback, of course, coming in after Kirk Cousins, the final 2 years. He had two very good years, two 11-1 seasons. So what's going to happen to Michigan State? And it's really curious, to figure out how good is Michigan State going to be this year? I know you've got all the inside information for me.
Right, yeah, yeah. 100 days in advance, I got all the inside. I know exactly how this season is going to go. Yep. Yeah, you know, though, yeah, it's coming off back-to-back winning seasons, you know, obviously that's going to get them more recognition as far as media coverage is concerned. And, I mean, we all know that, you know, winning is going to bring in more fans. We've seen it with – I mean, another great example is obviously the Lions. You know, they start winning, people start showing up. I mean, that's just the way the world of sports works. You lose a lot, you know, your fan base is going to kind of diminish a little bit. So, you know, I understand that people are excited. I would be – you know, obviously we're all excited, but, you know, some people are a little bit more than others because maybe the people that have been following the Spartan football team for, you know, years in and years out, you know, maybe this is the first time that, you know, obviously, like you said, back to back, that's the first time that's ever happened. You know, they've never seen it before. So I can understand why they're excited. They're anxious to get it started and have another winning season, which I think they will have. So, you know, I understand they're excited, but I don't have all the answers just yet.
Oh, that's too bad. I know they really want to hear that.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I think in Michigan State, well, I think, you know, obviously, there's still the questions, you know, whether or not Maxwell, you know, whether he can fill the shoes of Cousins. But, you know, I think, yeah, we saw during spring training that, you know, I think he'll be okay. And I know he was injured a little bit there, but I think they'll be fine. You know, their defense is good. Their offense will be fine. You know, some questions were about him and the wide receivers, but, you know, that they'll be fine. And I think they'll be ready to go, have a good winning season. And, you know, I don't think the fans will be disappointed at all.
So I hope not. If they will, they'll be very upset. Hopefully they won't upset them, and they will have another winning season. I'm not sure. Right now, I would say I don't think they'll probably win 11 games again. I mean, with a new quarterback, new receivers, you know, that's going to be a big test for them to win that many games. So if they're somewhere in that 8-10 range, that should be fine. And hopefully the fans won't be mad if they've got at least 8-10 wins. You know, a lot of 11 wins or 12 wins, I think that might be asking a little bit too much.
Yeah, I think it would be, you know, in college football, really, if you get to a decent bowl, I mean, really, and if you win that bowl, you had a successful season. I mean, that, a lot of people look at it that way. So, yeah, I think they'll win enough games, obviously, to get to a bowl game, one that actually has some meaning to it. You know, some of these bowl games, they don't really have any meaning. They're just made up things to get some money. But, yeah, you know, I think they'll win enough games. 11, like you said, I don't think they'll win 11. But you never know. You know, I don't know if the, you know, Cousins had a lot of leadership on that team. So whether or not that can be filled by other players or one specific player, I don't know. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. But D'Antonio, he's a good coach. He's got a lot of great people around him. So you never know. Sometimes players, coaches can find the right knacks and the right players, and they can make them even better than what they look like on paper. So,
well, we know the defense is going to be good.
Right.
That,
yep.
The defense is going to be very good. How good they're going to be, that's the question. But we know they're going to be a very good defense, very solid. 8 veterans coming back. And, of course, D'Antonio likes to mix in the veterans with some of the – there won't be many freshmen, but there'll be redshirt freshmen will probably be in the playing group, some redshirt sophomores and like that. So a lot of the young guys will get playing time, and that, which is always good, because you've got to keep getting the younger players in the program as they're, you know, because eventually they're going to be the veterans, so you got to give them some kind of experience, and that's always good for them to learn.
Yeah, you got to get them the experience when you can, because you know they're going to be taking over that position. If you don't give them that experience now, and then you force them into a position later, man, you're gonna be asking for trouble. So D'Antonio knows what he's doing. Obviously, he's a defensive guy, kind of more than an offensive guy. So he knows how to handle his defense. And like you said, I think the defense will be fine this year. And looking forward to it.
Okay. Hey, we want to thank you all for listening today. Would have liked to have a few more calls today, but since you didn't, we're going to tell you to come call us tomorrow right here on AM 870 WKAR. You're listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. Remember, we come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2:00 right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, We invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up and talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But we really want you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know, your friends, your neighbors, and even your enemies, people that you don't like. Tell them that you can enjoy sports every day right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
From NPR News.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.